finally, BT, a win at home over the New England Patriots. We expected the Jets to go in there and show signs of dominance. They did just that in a game that was non-competitive, finally in favor of the Jets. And to me, and we've talked about this and joked around last year about the SOJ, the same old Jets, that is now officially dead and buried because of Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback.
And listen, they had to... have is strong, but in my opinion, they had to get that and most beat the Titans in week two, right? And I didn't care what it looked like, just get a win, get back on the plane. I know you guys are rusty, and then kind of stretch things out as you get ready for the Pats at home and Denver coming up in week four. Some favorable injury news, as you just heard in Bogus's update. But last night, I needed to see a different Jets team, and we did. And the guy shows up, he's just amazing. I mean, like with one wave of the magic wand. Think about these things that he did for the Jets franchise. I mean, and I know that you've heard this, but it's got to be reiterated. The Jets have scored in three straight games, three touchdowns or more for the first time since 1989. Aaron Rodgers just started playing. I mean, think about that. Last year he got hurt immediately. He's played three games so far, and the Jets did something they haven't done since people were listening to MC Hammer. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then you look at it, and I know that we said this as well, but they've got nine offensive touchdowns already this year. Last year, their ninth came in week 11. I mean, you watch the Jets over the years. You don't even watch with intrigue. Like one of our callers said he watched, and I disagree with this. I didn't say it, but I disagree with it. And in my own mind, I'm going to say it now. He's like, Jet fans watch kind of like with their eyes shut. No, I watch half asleep because it's so boring and so without anything that is remotely appealing. This guy shows up and everything feels different, and now everything's looking different.
It's the simple things. Now, it's more than just the simple things, but the simple things like pre-snap reads and moving the football, first downs. I was at the game last night. It's another Jets first down. Like, all the first downs all night long. It took us weeks to see the Jets move the football the way that they moved it last night. And the key thing that we both saw from Rodgers last night, the fact that he was able to move a little bit. Now, to me, it didn't look like vintage Aaron Rodgers, but his mobility, in addition to the pre-snap reads and his mind and his arm, which look like they're in the prime of his career, which compared to Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold before him is like, I mean, you can't have a bigger disparity than what Jet fans had pre-Aaron Rodgers' arrival and what you see now. But if you start to add a little of the mobility, and Rodgers talked about it last night, feeling like his old self, you're seeing an all-time great quarterback.
Well, again, I you know what he looked like, what his actual speed was when in his absolute prime. I don't know. I know that you're saying he looked more mobile. I think he looked like almost really mobile. Like I'm going to take it a step further. Yep. I was that impressed, and you're in the stadium, so it's different. I get that. And, you know, I rewound things a few times. That's one of the things why I don't go to every game, because you do miss stuff.
It's hard to watch. It really is hard to watch. It was great being there.
Correct.
You know, I love the atmosphere. 80,000 going. Fireman Fred.
Yeah,
my favorite.
See him?
My favorite was when he.
It's Ed. It's Ed.
Fireman Ed. I'm sorry. My favorite was when he silenced the crowd.
He does it all the time.
Right,
he does.
But that's my favorite. For the third time, like, you know, you get the chance to go. But when everybody then finally, by the third time, they all. And then you just hear the roar.
I know. It's such a simple chant.
It was sick. But yes.
But it's awesome.
But so it's great being it, but you do lose a lot.
You lose a lot of stuff, right? So I really thought, and the ability to rewind and watch it a little differently with my TV, I really thought that he looked nimble. And so now what's going to happen is now the playbook opens up a little bit more. And now, because you saw a few last night, particularly on third down, off-platform stuff. He's not going to be Michael Vick. He never was, even when he was 25. But now if Rodgers can stretch things out and run for a first down or two each game and just expend the pocket and let Garrett and Mike Williams, who's getting healthier and healthier by the week, and eventually some of the other young receivers just do their thing in space. Like, I mean, I think the Jets are going to start hanging 30 on teams.
Well, that leads us to our next thing here. We mentioned Will McDonald and the other stuff. We saw signs of dominance last night. My favorite thing was this quote from Aaron Rodgers after the game.
It's expectations. If the expectation is winning, then we're going to celebrate it, but we should expect to win. The next step is expecting to dominate.
Oh, man. That's just...
I can hear that all day. It gives me goosebumps.
I'm going to stick this microphone in my veins.
Yeah.
Shoot it right through my body.
Yeah, right. I mean...
Bump me up there, Rodgers, with that.
Come on.
Wow.
I mean, now we're getting somewhere. So that's the difference when you bring in Aaron Rodgers, a guy who has the potential to be a New York sports god when all is said and done, where you go talk about, okay, the expectation is winning, so fine, we expect to go out there and win. Then when you do that, the next step, expecting dominance. Not going to happen all the time.
No.
But when you play a team like the Patriots... And we did kind of expect that going in. Matter of fact, I was surprised to see as many Patriot fans as I did in the building last night. Because
Oh, really?
What were you thinking was going to happen?
Well, I mean, fans, they're supporting they always do.
Yeah, but you're going to come out, like, you're walking into, you know what you're walking into.
I actually
that
respect
spot.
That more.
The easy thing
is to walk in with Tom Brady's your quarterback
and
you win 14 games a year.
I know, but after experiencing that, you're going to go to a game. I respect wanting to see your team, I guess, I just, in my mind, I just knew what was going to happen.
So
I knew the result. So going into that, point is, we expected them to dominate, and they did. But that's got to become a more regular thing. When they have a lesser opponent on the schedule, they should expect to dominate. This is what we should expect to see the majority of the time from the New York Jets moving forward. And the quarterback said it himself.
And Denver's next up.
Yep.
And they got quarterback issues. I mean, they're a team that's been beaten down for a while. Even when they've been, even with the Jets and their issues the last couple of years, Jets have actually played fairly well against the Denver Broncos. So, yeah, I'm going to start getting so brazen as to say I'm going to expect another smackdown here, but I wouldn't be surprised if they deliver one. I'm kind of expecting it.
Well, so I was going to ask you.
Kind of.
Are you expecting dominance?
Yeah. I'll tell you right now. 7 points. Take the Jets.
Yeah. And again, like whether they cover or not, whatever, and I guess that would mean dominance.
Oh, that's why I say that. Only,
yes,
yeah, that's
understood. But yeah, I expect. We're getting to a point now where we saw what happened week one Monday night, and both you and I did not go nuts overreacting. Obviously, the defense was awful, but you acknowledge that it wasn't the primary takeaway from that game. As much as it's fun to rip on teams, no. Primary takeaway was that they have Aaron Rodgers back at quarterback, and he stayed healthy. You saw some improvements in week two, still not where they needed to be, but and now week three, okay, now we're getting somewhere. I fully expect the Jets. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I fully expect the Jets to dominate week four.
Let me put you on the spot. Yeah. Because before the season, I said 11 to 12 wins, all right?
Yeah, I was hesitant to go there.
I know it's early. You already got two.
I still think they're on track for what we expected.
Well, what we expected, I expect different from you. Yeah, I don't think you thought 12. Did you?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet.
That's why I'm saying it's not we, because mine's always been a little bit more than you. Were you 10?
Well,
10 and 7?
The reason why I didn't really give you a specific win total, but I was hesitant to bet the over just because of stuff could go wrong when everybody's on top of it, and Salah was the biggest reason. Where I say that they're kind of where we expected, we both expected them to be 2-1 through the first three games. That's what I mean. And probably expected them to beat Denver as well, even before with the schedule. No,
and really Minnesota, although Minnesota's looking a lot better. That's the London game.
That's a different
Minnesota's
game now.
We'll get to them up there.
And then Buffalo.
That's
like,
not a gimme.
Those are games where I think could change my mind. My mind hasn't really changed yet, so no, I'm not ready to wait. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I believe in them. I still need to see more from the defense, I think, to go to that 12-win level. But I'd be lying to you if I said watching Rodgers look like vintage Aaron Rodgers. I mean, anything's possible with that guy.
Can I sprinkle a little more potential joy into the soup today? So as Will McDonald is beasting on one edge.
Uh-oh.
Just imagine.
Oh, I thought you had some news.
Just imagine Mr. Reddick doing the same on the other edge.
It'd be nice if it could actually happen. And he's got to get his act together.
You think he signs at some point?
I don't think the Jets are caving because now they get the leverage back. I mean, maybe they've each had their fun of swings with the leverage. Jets had it. Reddick had it. Jets have it back a little bit. Maybe that will push them to meet in the middle, be like, hey, this is going to go on. Let's just get this
done. I think they're going to find a way, and I've thought that for a while. Now, I thought it also might be done by now. Here's the thing, though. Don't you think from Douglas's and Woody's perspective, like, again, the Patriots are bad, so let's not go nuts here, but if the Jets continue to grow and evolve and Rodgers really looks like one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL and all the other things, keep running backs, whatever, O-line, gelling, and you're bagging all these wins, don't you almost have to say, hey, we owe it to ourselves to bring, we have
let's
to sign him.
Let's just go all in.
Let's go.
Yeah, whatever the risk or the penalty may be down the road, suck it up and give your team the best chance.
Don't you think it's more that than staying, dug into your line of the sand? Like,
I mean,
hey.
But I felt that before. Like, I didn't really think that. I know a lot of people said the Jets had the leverage, and I understood why, but I thought Reddick, once he dug in, was going to be dug in, and the Jets clearly needed him. And, right now they're playing okay, but to win a Super Bowl, you brought him in for a reason.
And you're going to need him without Jermaine Johnson.
Well, that's the thing. Even with the emergence of Will McDonald, you're still losing Jermaine Johnson. BT and Sal on the Fan or Friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Scott is calling from Raleigh. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, hey, BT, Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Nice thanks for making it.
First time caller, long time listener, and lifetime suffering Jets fan. So still feeling pretty good today. But I think coming into this week, obviously, actually coming into the season, I think everybody looked at the Patriots as if they had the least amount of talent in the NFL, at least one of the teams that had the least amount of talent.
Yep.
Obviously, down here in Carolina, the Panthers are in shambles too. But, you know, for the last 2 weeks, it's made me a little nervous coming into this week because, first of all, you got the 8-year home losing streak. It's still the New England Patriots, even though it's not our parents' Patriots. Mm-hmm. It's still the Patriots. And then I hear the pundits all week talking about how Gerard Mayo's got the team disciplined, how they control the ball, they've got a controlled interior run game, and we haven't exactly been stopping the run all that well this year. So I got to tell you, last night was just a chef's kiss because, you know, we played whack-a-mole with the New England Patriots, and in the words of the late, great Denny Green, they are who we thought they were. And we rolled them up and we sent them back to Boston.
Yeah, they stink.
Between their legs.
Scott, they stink.
It feels good this morning.
It does. Thanks for the call. But there's a reason why they picked third in the draft.
Yeah.
They're not good, and they had two rookies on the offensive line. And I got a rookie coach who, in his defense, to his credit, he's had his team ready to play the first couple of weeks of the season.
I mean, it could be 2-0. You could argue it should be 2-0.
In a lot of ways, it should be.
Beating the Bengals and almost beating the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I know it's hard to, well, I mean, from a Jets perspective, it's hard for a lot of fans to separate the torture and pertaining to the Jets and what they've given the fans. But it's also hard to separate on some level the dominance of the Patriots because that's all you know for the last 20 years. But when you really looked at not only the roster but the injury report, I'm forgetting the linebacker's name who was out for the Pats list. I knew that was big. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that's why I made sure I'm giving, you know, talk about Salva, talk about Rodgers, talk about the players. I think Ulbrich deserves a lot of credit. He doesn't love bringing the pressure the way that he does. So he, too, deviated from stuff to match the deficiencies on the O-line and make them very one-dimensional. There's no way Jacoby Brissett's beating you.
Right.
There's no way.
Right. With that defense going up against Jacoby Brissett, a sitting duck, with the no weapons. I felt bad for the guy.
I didn't feel bad for him.
Pile it on, baby. Come on.
Well, I guess because I've seen that. Just on a human level.
Yeah, wow.
At one point, I thought he was really hurt, actually. I'm like, man, this guy deserves a little better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was saying hut, and he was getting hit.
Yeah.
It's the way we like it.
That's called a them problem. Yeah. Dave is calling from Rockville Center. What's up, Dave?
That's true.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Dave. How are you, Dave?
All right. So, nice win. A win is a win, and we embrace the win. But I have to counsel with some counterpoints. You know, I saw a sloppy, sloppy game. Okay. You guys talked about the timeouts. We don't need to go further than that. The Jets are the worst clock management team in the last two decades. I wish Robert Saleh would hire a clock management guy. I mean, you'd think the assistant head coach would have that credential.
Yep.
But beyond that, 106 yards of penalties. I mean, the DB was basically holding the guy's hand like he was a prom date. Okay. You're handing the other team a touchdown. What I saw last night, I was really happy to see Rodgers really sharp, and I was first time I've ever seen that kind of quarterback play in my life on the Jets. But I saw a game that the Jets hand to a mid-tier or upper mid-tier good team. I am not buying the Kool-Aid or drinking the Kool-Aid about the Titans are a good team. The Jets have not beaten a good team yet. The Patriots,
but it's 3 weeks. But it's only 3 weeks, Dave. You're right. There's still a long way to go and a lot to prove.
Did you see Sauce? So one of my best friends is a Bills fan, and he keeps me level-headed. He calls Sauce Grabner. Did you see him in the end zone versus the Titans?
Yes, I did.
There are three different plays where he wasn't called. He was mauling the receiver.
Yep.
Okay? So the Jets have a lot to clean up. They played a bad team. I saw Jacoby Brissett play in person down in Miami 3 years ago. Mm. His body language, like, you know, when the commercials come on.
He's all right.
So bad.
He's all right. He's nothing special. I'm not going to rip him. Thanks for the call, Dave.
I actually respect Jacoby Brissett.
He's a good pro.
Yeah, with the Colts, the Pats. No, he is. Yes, I agree.
You don't want him starting for you, but he's a good pro. And if you had to have him start for you while you're developing a young quarterback.
Like they are.
Fair enough. But everything Dave said is still true, which is why I was not ready to meet you at the 12 wins, because I still need to see
I said 11
more.
Or 12.
11 or 12, fine. But I need to see them improve significantly here and clean up those things. The penalties, which is something that has been a mainstay under Saleh, mm-hmm. so I'm not sure that's ever going to get cleaned up. The clock management, again, which has been an issue. Like, those things are going to hurt them in big games. I'm in love with Aaron Rodgers, so it's easy to fall in love with Rodgers and the potential of the defense and say this team can beat anybody.
Yep.
Maybe they can, but it's only week three. Let's see what happens when the opponents become more difficult. And as the Jets get better, hopefully get better, and move forward in the year. You can't go nuts, but you have to like what you've seen so far through 3 weeks.
I love it. You know, how many people have called up and said today, I mean, it's pathetic and it's also galvanizing equally at the same time. My God, I've never seen this in my life. You know what last night was like for a lot of us? It's like prom night.
Well,
that's what it feels like.
I didn't.
That's what it looks like.
Prom night for me.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I mean, I'm saying maybe your prom night was a little different than my prom night. Well,
sounds like it was. Sounds like mine was more fun. I don't know. Did you even go?
But my prom night was more like my post wedding day. I mean, you married for a few years. Yeah, this is a prom.
But you know what I mean?
Prom night. You know what I remember? Prom night. Checking the Mets score. I think it was 97. So like Carlos Baerga had a big hit to beat the Braves or something.
I remember throwing up on this girl's shoe. Not my date. This girl's shoes. What a disaster, man.
Yeah. Well, there was no, I mean, nobody was throwing up on anybody's shoes yesterday during that game.
Okay. Listen, sometimes a little less is more, you know what I'm saying? But from about watching a quarterback do what Rodgers did, and if you know what I mean, and I know you do. It was kind of like the football prop.
I get it. And it is a reminder. We know it. We live through it. But it is a reminder when you hear fans say it repeatedly, like, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
I know.
And even sitting there, like I said, it's another Jets first down. I'm just like, God, like of watching this team for how many years were you just like, please do something competent.
Every single year.
Every single year, every single week, they were non-competitive, couldn't move the football. It's infuriating. And when a quarterback did make a throw, it was the bad one. It was getting picked off, and you just want to throw your remote through the damn TV screen. And obviously now with Aaron Rodgers, it's anything but. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll have Nick Costos when we come back. Get some insight from Nick on both the Jets and the Giants. Of course, look ahead to week three in the NFL. Right now on the line is the host of You Better, You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better, You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better, You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Nick, what a performance from the Jets last night on Thursday Night Football.
I'll tell you, great to be on with you guys. I said it before the season, and I think we saw it last night. The ultimate upside for this team, and I hope the Jets fans, and BT, you are always confident, I hope the Jets fans believe the ultimate upside for this team is to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's within the range of outcomes, realistically, for the New York Jets to win the Super Bowl this season.
I agree. You know, I agree. And it's a hard thing to do. You know, and Met fans, they get deeper into this October run, eventually October run, hopefully. You know, when you're tortured for so long, it's hard to suspend the reality of what you've been subjected to. But objectively speaking, they check almost every box, really, except the head coach. That's the only thing that worries us here, Nick.
Well, I think the good news is the head coach also plays quarterback. It's totally fine. Like the dust up they had on the sideline, people are making a big deal about that. Like, you know what actually would have been an issue? If, like, Saleh brushed off Rodgers. Then it's a story. Rodgers brushing off Saleh, not a story at all. Rodgers 500 times more important than Saleh and Joe Douglas. You know, so, non-story for me.
Even if Rodgers is the pseudo-head coach, and obviously you say that facetiously, but we all know Rodgers is the alpha male on the team. You know, but the timeout's nonsense. Like, then that's on Rodgers. And by the way, the Jets have been running these plays here with barely a second left on the play clock.
But that's Rodgers, Sal. Like, he did that in Green Bay also. Like that's his thing.
Well, then why is he calling two timeouts in the third quarter? That'll get on his ass. It can't be Robert Saleh that we rip. If Rodgers is the head coach and it is the offense and that is Aaron Rodgers, how are you burning two timeouts with 3 minutes to go in the eighth, with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter?
I love, like, they shoved the Patriots in a locker last night, and we're worried about the timeout usage in the third quarter? Like, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's been
in the game.
No, Nick, it's been a theme since he got hired. I mean, we're not trying to bury the lead. Jets look good, but we can't ignore it.
I don't disagree. You guys know I agree. I don't think Saleh's a good coach. I don't think Nate Hackett's a good offensive coordinator. Coach Hack, I call him. Drop the ETT. But look, like, the team is really like low-hanging fruit. It's really stupid. But he's so good, though. And, man, like, I don't know if he looked like he did when he was 25, but maybe 35 last night. It was awesome. He's great. The team's really good. And Rodgers alluded to it a couple times in post-game interviews. He's still not on the same page with Garrett Wilson, and he's right about this. Like, once that happens and their rapport really gets going, I mean, like, look out. And I'll say this about Braylon Allen, like the 20, he's 20.
I know. Right?
For rookie running back out of Wisconsin, he reminds me, curious if you guys agree, because this is a New York comp I'm going to make. He's like a younger and slimmer than this player was when this player was young. He looks to me like Brandon Jacobs with the way he runs and that upright style that he runs with. And Braylon Allen is not the best running back on his own team. Like, that's still the great Breece Hall. But if you put Braylon Allen on, I'm going to be conservative here. 20 other teams in the NFL out of the other 31, he would be the best running back on that team. This is an electric 1-2 combo.
There's no doubt. I don't know if I'm feeling the BJ comparison as much. I mean, he was such a big boy, and I know what you mean, just that thump when he lowers his pads. So it's not a crazy, crazy comparison, and a caller brought that up earlier. But listen, here's what really...
That caller stole it from me. Follows me on Twitter, guaranteed.
Did you tweet it last night? And then
I tweeted it during the preseason, actually.
Oh,
all credit to me.
Oh, okay, there you go. All credit going to Nick. We love that kid. He is a credit seeker, and we give it to him when he needs it, and we give it to you there. So listen, I see Rodgers running around last night. Great mobility, and we all knew he could throw. But to me, and the Garrett Wilson point is a point that I made as well, like, they're not even on the same page yet. His ability, and we needed to see this, to still make off-platform plays, man, that to me changes everything for the Jets offense moving forward.
There's no question. There's absolutely no question. And he did that a couple times last night, right?
Yep.
The one when they're going from left to right, I want to say it's the third quarter. And it was Jeremy Ruckert, right? Not Tyler Conklin.
Yes, that it was Ruckert.
Yeah, that caught that one pass when Rodgers is rolling out. And look, like, again, look, we all watch the games. Monday night, week one against San Francisco, Rodgers rolls out a couple times, and you're like, whoa. Like, he doesn't look good. Now, we reserve judgment because he's 40 and coming off a serious injury, but second half last week against Tennessee, full game last night against New England, he's never going to confuse anyone with Jaden Daniels or like Lamar Jackson now, right? That's not going to be what it is. But it was like when Marino was awesome. You need him. Marino was never a mobile quarterback, but he was so functional, moving in the pocket, evading pressure, you know, rolling out, being able to deliver the ball on target. Rodgers did that last night, and I'm not trying to gas up Jets fans. Like, the season could still go south. I hope it doesn't. I really think you've got major, major outcomes available to the team this year.
Where are you at with the defense, Nick? It's been obviously not as great as we thought through the first 2 weeks. Last night, certainly much better. Will McDonald's emerge? They lose Jermaine Johnson. Do you think this could still be a top three, top five defense in the NFL?
I think it's within the realm that could be the case. We're not going to find out anything next week. Well, I guess we will if Bo Nix lights them up, which would be, I mean, got to tell you, that would be really bad if that happened. Like, it should be a cakewalk next week for the Jets defense against Bo Nix and the Broncos. But then, like, London game against Minnesota, home Buffalo. Like, we'll find out a lot about where this Jets defense is at now. I think the good thing about the construction of the team this year and Rodgers being there is in the past, the defense has had no margin for error. And that's why we've seen at the end of the year for the last couple of years, the defense at the end of the year is like, F it. Like, we are done. We can't handle this anymore. With Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle, and they just kind of give up. Like, the offense is going to be good enough this year where the defense doesn't have to be like the 85 Bears for the team to seriously contend for a Super Bowl championship.
I'm with you. I am with you. By the way, it's Nick Costos, BT and Sal here on The Fan. So, let's get to those Giants. We know you love them, although you're honest, and they don't look good.
Oh, man.
I mean, geez, this is the fork in the road, dude. They either cobble something together this weekend and give Giant fans a semi-meaningful season, or they play poorly, and it's over. I don't think there's much middle ground here, Nick.
Yeah, and just when you think this franchise has hit rock bottom, grab those blue shovels, and they keep digging, man. How about losing because you don't have a kicker? Like, anyone out there, like the Giants fans, like, you still want to, like, defend this regime? We still want to defend them? Like, they're so great. Wow, Brian Daboll's so awesome.
Well, Sal does.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we could get into that. I was going to ask you if you were over that loss yet from Sunday. Clearly, you're not.
Well, I would say it's less me being, well, I bet the Giants, and that was more frustrating for me, honestly. But yeah, like, you're a Giants fan. Like, by the way, the same thing happened last year against the Jets. They knew Gano was hurt. And then they tried a couple field goals with Gano at the end, but he missed all of them. And this year they knew he was hurt again, and you don't have someone ready just in case? Like, this is lunacy. This is not like the Pac-12, which no longer exists, or the ACC. This is the NFL. Like, what other organization would go into a game knowing the kicker's hurt and not having someone potentially
ready? Who are you blaming for that? Because don't
Dable.
You think, well, why? What is Dable, a medical guy all of a sudden? Don't they talk to doctors and get
sure, then I blame Shane. Then I blame Joe Shane.
Well, you know what? At least that's refreshing for a change, because it's all been about Brian Dable, and yet nobody brings up Joe Shane.
Oh, they are both brutal. They're both brutal. Get them. Are there fans out there that if this is going to go south and their betting market says they're going to lose on Sunday, that think that they should pick the next quarterback of this team moving forward? Like, I want the Giants fan that thinks that to step forward.
There's a few of them, Nick. There's a decent amount who still believe in this duo.
Well, the thing that I get from Giants fans is, we're constantly rebuilding. How can we keep doing this? Have to give them another chance. Yeah, you know, like, if you ever started your own business, you'd be out of money real quick if, like, that's the attitude you want to take. Like, this is what's called in business, in my opinion. I guess they can turn it around. I can be wrong. This is a sunk cost. It's
right,
done.
Right, but
like,
Nick,
rip the Band-Aid off.
Here's the reason why, and I'm less sold on Shane, because I don't know how you could properly evaluate a general manager in 2 years plus two games. Now,
he extended Daniel.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, understood, but is that him or is that the owner?
Well, I mean, if it's...
Can't get rid of the owner, and we know how much the owner loves him, so I'm with you on that. That's his one to me. Now, I know he's missed, you know, Evan Neal, whatever. You want to get into it, Thibodeau, sure, but there's going to be some hits and some misses, and I don't think that's fair in just 2 years plus two games. The Daniel Jones one is bad because they haven't selected a quarterback, a young quarterback. Daniel Jones was the guy that they selected. But are we blaming Shane and Dable for that, or are we blaming Mara? And I'm not so sure the answer. And for me, when I'm evaluating Dable, who I believe more in than Shane, it's because of what he did in year one with a crap roster and a bad quarterback. And then even last year, when the season could have gone off the rails, where they could have been a 2 or 3 win team.
You don't think last season went off the rails?
I don't, because he righted the ship to win 6 games at the end.
Think about how low the bar is.
Understood.
That's the sentence.
They righted the ship
to win 6 games.
I know.
And picks. And by the way,
but Nick, he was playing with a third string quarterback.
Going off the rails, by the way, again, this is not the point you're making. Like, that would have been better than what happened, because we would have Jaden Daniels or Drake May right now instead of Daniel Jones. But your point is somewhat valid there. I understand.
Well, and that's where it's complicated, because, and I'm with Sal in the sense that, yeah, I mean, you squeeze, I should beat the Jets as well. You could have 7 or 8 wins, but...
That's just, man.
Well, that was gross, but
come on.
They could have been 3-14, and he was able to just kind of at least piece it together enough where you're like, well, it could have been worse, and it's hard to know what's real with these guys. But the one, and Nick, I'm with you in this one regard, all right? I'm much less high on Dable than Sal. Shane, I'm not really sure yet, but when Giant fans subscribe to the notion, hey, we got to roll these guys back, it's mostly based on the premise of continuity and not the actual characteristics of the two guys that they want back.
Yeah, it's like continuity for continuity's sake is stupid.
Right.
Like, you have to have an actual reason for continuity. And the other thing is, like, I said this earlier this week, there's a chance, you know how, like, Channel 11 locally here, for years, airs Seinfeld, right, at 11 and 11:30.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that the Giants' offseason Hard Knocks will eventually age to be the greatest situational comedy of all time. And WPIX will air that, episodes of Hard Knocks, at 11 o'clock every night. Specifically, the episode where Brian Dable is pitching Joe Shane to hire Shane Bowen as the defensive coordinator, and is just showing him like an ESPN stat page of, well, look at the yards per attempt on the ground for the Titans defense the last couple years. Yeah, how's that run defense look?
Yeah.
2 weeks. Oh, this is great. And here would be my question for you guys and for people that want them back. What is the Giants' most likely record this season, in your opinion?
Five or six wins.
All right, so if the Giants, let's say 6-11. Let's say they go 6-11. So this will be playoffs year one, disaster year two, disaster year three.
Yep.
Do you think that this regime deserves to stick around and choose the next quarterback?
No, I don't.
I still don't know if you could judge them properly without having seen them pick an actual quarterback.
God, I'd love for you to be my boss.
Well, I gave you the reasons why. It's not blind faith. And by the way, I will say that my belief in Dable, They got to win this game. Like, you can't get smoked by the Vikings week one. And I don't care what the excuses are. You can't lose to Washington, certainly the way that they did in week two, and then lose again to Cleveland in week three.
They
and
just might win this game, by the way.
Oh, that's my point.
They might win.
But if they don't, and I do believe they can because Cleveland's not that good either. Either way, if they don't win this game, my belief in Daboll will take a major hit, and I can't have blind faith anymore. Like, at some point, you actually have to start winning games. It's not a third string quarterback anymore. It's Daniel Jones, the quarterback that they chose. They're not drafting and developing a quarterback, which means that their season should be evaluated based on wins and losses. So far, it's been ugly. If they don't win this week, then I will be with you and say, you know what? I was wrong. I had misguided calculations based off of what he did the first year and just belief in Daboll. But they still could win this game and then maybe turn their season around to a certain extent dealing with the limited talent that they have.
Well, I'll tell you what. So win this game. If they win, I'll talk about the game in a second. Next Thursday night, what a kick in the junk this was watching the game last night. I had forgotten that next week Thursday night was Cowboys at Giants. Oh, man, can't wait. Oh, boy. As far as this game goes, look, I know I picked the Giants last week, so for as negative as I am as a fan, I can be objective when it comes to like analyzing the game and betting the game. Cleveland's 1-1. Now, I don't think the loss in week one to Dallas was as bad as the final score would indicate, but also, and I bet the Browns last week, so I'm happy that the game turned out the way it did. It's a really misleading final score where the Jaguars like pretty significantly outplayed the Browns and like managed to lose that game more than the Browns managed to win. I don't think this is a great Browns team now. They're going to get, likely, both of their starting offensive tackles back. Neither has played this season. Myles Garrett didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. I checked literally right before I came on the air with you guys. The report just came out. He's back at practice today. Obviously, like, not great news for the Giants. I don't think the Browns are great. And Deshaun Watson, like, Daniel Jones might be the best quarterback in this game. Like, Watson's terrible. He just is. And if the Giants have a kicking situation last week, I think we're viewing the team a little different. Like, they lost because of the kicking, and the defense was bad, too. But they probably win if they have a kicker. And then how are we viewing this game? What's the point spread? I actually think if you like the Giants in this game, like, bet the Giants to win the game. Just bet them on the money line. I don't think it's impossible that Deshaun Watson urinates down his leg, and it's a brutal performance, just saying. Like, it's definitely possible. And the Giants in a kitchen sink game, if you have any belief in Daboll at all, like, he might be coaching for his job here long term. I think you get everything from the Giants in this game. If I had to bet the game with the spread, I would only bet the Giants. And if you like the Giants again, I would just bet them to win. I don't think it's impossible.
All right, Nick, we appreciate the time as always. Looking forward to having you on again next week. That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. All right, I was waiting for Nick to give his tagline there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we had him pulled down, I guess. But
minimal bet.
You have Nick there?
Minimal sweats.
He hung up? Nick, go ahead, give your tagline there. Come on.
Oh, man, I was like, man, that was a nice sell. Minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. I love you guys.
Do you usually do that? Don't you do that after
yeah,
I do
on,
the read?
Man.
No, but you were literally like, that was Nick Costos.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah,
okay, like now he's going to break.
It did sound like he was booting you off the stage there, Nick.
By the way, it's your show, totally.
No, I meant to do the read and then have you tag it. And then I looked at Dover, who's pointing me to do the read.
But Sal, like we all do this for a living, like you, your inflection. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm done.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not perfect. What do you want me to do here?
Well, right.
Well, now you're done. Thanks, Nick. See you later. All right. Approved Oil has been a leading oil dealer. We'll come back. We'll have our perfect parlay picks a little bit later on. Ooh. Something from the Mets game last night that I want to get into next, too. The Mets as well, BT. We mentioned them before, and we got a perfect parlay pick segment coming up as well. We mentioned the Mets before, but something last night that took place at the game that was going nuts on social media. I loved it. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see what they did on the scoreboard at Citi Field when Cody Clemens came up for the Phillies?
I did not.
You know how they write usually like little things about a player, whatever. Oh, it made his MLB debut on September, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So for Cody Clemens, and we rip the Mets, and certainly I do, for a lot of decisions that are made, whether it's, you know, Hawk to a girl, whatever, like the Grimm stuff, all right, whatever. Like we get on them for certain things. Well, this is brilliant. And whoever's decision this was at Citi Field to put this up on the scoreboard deserves a raise. And I wish I knew who it was so I could give them the proper credit, but it is brilliant. For Cody Clemens, it says, Mike Piazza hit .421 against his father.
Did it really?
Yeah, dude.
That's good.
Look at that.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
I mean, that is the ultimate.
That's strong.
It's borderline like, disrespectful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right. it is disrespectful.
Clemens disrespected Mike.
Understood. I mean, that is just phenomenal.
That's cool.
I saw that. My buddy Brian showed it to me at the game last night. I was like, oh, I can't wait to get into that. That is brilliant.
Wow.
That, Piazza owned his father. Oh.
Wow.
Now, if I'm Cody Clemens in that spot, I'm a little bothered by that.
I'm a little pissed off. A little
right?
Bit.
Like, what does my father got to do with, and that have to do with me right now? Like, that's...
It's definitely, it's a little petty on the part of the Mets, but I'm okay with this pettiness here.
Yeah.
Because of what happened.
Well,
throwing him in the head, throwing the bat at him.
Yeah, there you go. I love that for the Mets last night.
Puffing out there, feeling good about themselves.
Scored
now.
30 runs in 3 games. You know why? You could have someone take some
liberties
on that
scoreboard. Get a little giddy in that booth, hitting those buttons.
Hope it doesn't come back to bite you. All right, BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. Ralph is in East Islip. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I did call about the Mets, and that's a great point about Cody Clemens, by the way. But I did have a little PTSD or whatever you call that with Drake May coming
PTSD,
in and the last time a rookie quarterback for New England came into a game in the Leaf.
Yeah.
But the Mets have the Mets have a simple roadmap ahead of them to get to the playoffs, and it's you got to take at least one of these next three from the Phillies. Not unreasonable. That leaves you at worst tied with the Braves going into their series. You got to take 2 out of 3 from them, and then 2 out of 3 from a Brewers team that's probably just getting set up and ready for their first round of the playoffs.
But you think they're going to do this? By the way, you sound a little unsure of yourself here. I mean, can you strive for a little bit more than just taking 1 out of the next 3 from Philly?
The last time I called you, Sal, we were talking about putting trust into this team. I am older than you, so I have a little bit more experience, but my fandom is just as high as you are on this. With the Mets go, I'm very happy. I should have said this from the start. I'm very happy we're playing meaningful baseball the last 2 weeks of the season.
Sal doesn't like that term.
Yeah,
but that's not the goal.
I mean, I'm sorry. Did I hang up on you there by accident, Ralph? I didn't mean to cut you off that quickly. And that was BT that was talking about your lack of confidence right there. But I would not be. I'm happy that the Mets are playing meaningful baseball in September. Obviously, it beats the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's something that you can. Just be like, oh, if the Mets fall short, like if the Mets don't end up getting in or lose to the Braves, that's unacceptable.
Yep.
I don't care what I don't care what the expectations were coming into the year. I will go just as nuts, maybe not as nuts as I did in 2022, but I will be just as upset if they say get swept by the Braves or lose 2 out of 3 to the Braves and it costs them to be on the outside looking in. Like at this point, they better get in. I can't lower my expectations, even though they lowered their expectations. I can't lower mine. To me, it's World Series or bust, and that should be the mentality every year. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't take joy in certain seasons that don't end up in a World Series. If the Mets get to the postseason, this has been a great season. Even if they lose, it's been a fun season for most fans, and everybody would acknowledge that, hey, you know what, it's a great at the end of it. But it doesn't mean you can't be ticked off in it when you actually fall short of the ultimate goal, especially in a year where it's wide open.
You can have a couple different emotions. I agree with that. I mean, if you're a Mets fan, you haven't enjoyed this season. Just stop being a Mets fan. Stop being a sports fan. By the way, a little update here, Sal.
Yeah.
The updated win total, projection-wise, Mets up to 89.3.
What are they at right now? 83?
The Mets are 85 and 68.
What? They got 85 already?
Yeah, dude. 9 to go. And the updated postseason projection percentage is up to 75.9%.
So they have 85 wins with 9 to go.
Yep.
If they go 4-5, they're going to win 90 games. That is unbelievable.
No. If they go 4-5, they'll win 89. They're 85
wins. I'm sorry. Right.
So if they go 5-4, they're going to have 90 wins.
Yes.
5-4.
So they're 85 right now, 9 games left, right? They need 5 wins to get to that 90.
Mm-hmm.
5-4, you get 3 left with Philly, and 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean,
Brewers, they
should be a 90-win team.
I don't disagree right now.
I don't care who they're playing. The way that they're playing right now and where they're at, they should be a minimum. They might win more than 90 games.
I'd like to see Lindor come back so you don't have to keep relying on everybody else.
I'm not so certain that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think we need to get into that a little bit later. You saw something on Lindor, which is maybe ominous is a little strong, but it's definitely not encouraging.
Right.
Definitely not encouraging. Yeah. I don't think. I
well,
didn't
we just don't know. Yeah, I mean, they seem to be, and we kind of thought this might be the case with the way that they were handling, you know, that meeting and all that stuff, but we weren't sure about Lindor's return. But now the fact that they say they are hopeful that he will return, you know,
before the end of the regular season. It seems like the net's been cast a little wider, unfortunately.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back, reset, hit you with the Jets topic again. The Mets, anything you missed, check out on the free Odyssey app. We'll continue with your calls as well, 888-808-1019.